At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
This October, Tanger invites you to shop pink and save lives. Your donation of $10 or more to the Breast Cancer Research Foundation helps fuel innovative research that brings us closer to a cure. It also unlocks exclusive savings from brands like Coach, Crocs, Columbia Factory Store, and more to shop all month long. Join us as we mark 30 years of advancing research and empowering hope. Donate and access your exclusive savings today at Tanger.com.
Welcome in to this Tuesday edition of the flagship, little afternoon edition. I'm your host, Zach Berry. David Brandt here with us. We had some scheduling conflicts, or I did, I should say. Had to move some things, shuffle some things around, but we're here. We are going to talk Ole Miss football as had a lot of win totals released over the last couple weeks and couple months of what teams are expected to do this fall. So we'll dive into the number for Ole Miss and the rest of the SEC. Before I do that, I want to remind you, this show each and every day is brought to you by College Corner, three locations, Ridgeland, Flowood, and Oxford, the brand new one in Oxford, Sisk Avenue. And you still have, as we record this, you've got 2 days remaining if you want to join into the drawing for the signed Grove Collective football with Lane Kiffin's signature on that football. I was trying to make a John Hancock reference, and I literally almost said Herbie Hancock.
close enough.
Yeah. Make a purchase, leave a tip. It can be any tip. It doesn't have to be anything crazy. It could be $1, $5, whatever. You can go crazy if you want, because all of it goes directly to the Grove Collective, helping to benefit Ole Miss athletes. And when you do that, you'll be entered into a chance to win that football. That's at College Corner in Oxford. It's only at the Oxford location. So if you can get there, do it. If not, you can check them out, collegecornerstore.com. David, good afternoon. Welcome in. How are we doing?
Good afternoon. Doing well. Doing well.
So we're already right at mid-May. It'll be July before we know it. We've got, week zero. Game times have been announced. We've got College Game Day already deciding where it's going for week one. So, of course, that means that football is getting closer and closer. Let's take a look at the win totals for this year. There's some peculiar ones in here.
And I saw there was a couple of, once you sent me the list, I was like, I thought Ole Miss's was fine. Thought that was one of the better ones. But, yeah, some of them I was like, wow, that's either aggressive or kind of not aggressive. There was just some weird ones. It's a good list to talk about.
Yeah. So going off of the latest from Circa Sports, so it could differ from the numbers I sent you the other day. I'll just give them to you anyways. But Ole Miss, the total right now is 9.5. I am just aggressively hammering the over there. I think this Ole Miss team is poised for a monumental season. I think this is, we've said it over and over on this show throughout the spring. Easily the most anticipated season ever in the history of the program. You've got a third-year starter quarterback coming back. You've got some added punch to the running back room, some added punch to the offensive line, some added punch to the defensive line, some added punch to the secondary. You potentially have some added punch at the linebacker room, as Ole Miss is entertaining an official visitor right now from South Alabama. And then, yeah, oh, by the way, you've got Trey Harris back, who might be the best wide receiver in the SEC. You've got Juice Wells, who prior to an injury, he was the best wide receiver in the SEC in 2022. You know, one of the best, if not the best. You've got a tight end that is expected to be 100% healthy in his second year in the system. I mean, stop me when you've heard enough, David. I think the schedule sets up nicely. We've talked about that plenty. I think the right. two toughest games are at home. 9.5 almost feels like some, you know, some free money, maybe a free space here. I think that Ole Miss easily gets to 10-2, at least.
Yeah, I think 10-2, if they're not 10-2, the season is a major disappointment, I think. You know what I mean? I think 10-2 is kind of the bare minimum, given the schedule, all that stuff of what's expected. I mean, there's only, you know, just you go down the list and there's only really, for me, you know, one game, Georgia, that looks really, really hard. And I mean, like the others, there's other hard games, you know, Oklahoma, LSU, you know, there's going to be South Carolina on the road's not easy. There's games that are going to be tough, but if Ole Miss is what they expect to be, 10 wins is kind of the bare minimum of what they're expecting in the regular season this year.
And look, it's at home. And I know Georgia is the measuring stick now. Like, Georgia is the upper echelon of the SEC, but you get them at home. You get them late in the year. You have an opportunity. You know, obviously injuries are something you have to factor in, but late in the year, you got to feel like your defense is settled in. The newcomers are settled. The offense is in a groove. It's at home where Lane Kiffin's been really, really good. And hey, it's Georgia's mortal too, right? I mean, they, you know, blow it to Alabama in the SEC championship. They've got Carson Beck back, who's really, really good. He's going to have a hell of a supporting cast with him. But Georgia's mortal. I mean, they're just like everyone else. They have got to replace people that went to the draft, and they've got to replace playmakers all over the place, just like anyone. So, right. That feels like a game, David, where it's almost like 2003 LSU, where, you know, Atlanta's on the line potentially.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's not to say that Georgia game is impossible by any stretch, but that's the one you really look at. You're like, wow, that's a heavyweight fight right there, especially if both teams are relatively healthy going into that game. And you're right, it does have vibes of that 2003 LSU game.
So we can run through the schedule here. We don't have to waste too much time in the first 4 weeks. I think that's easy money right there. That's 1, 2, 3, 4 right off the bat to start 4-0.
If you're having trouble in that 4, then we've got we'll have plenty to talk about that week.
Yeah, I mean the only one that even remotely gives you any sense of pause is Wake Forest, but it's not the same Dave Clawson Wake Forest.
Right. I was about to say, you know, Wake Forest, I covered a game. That's a kind of a cool stadium, a campus and everything. I went there in, I believe, 2008 when Houston, they lost on a last second field goal, if I remember correctly. But that was right before they went on that, like, you know, 7-game winning streak. And went. It was a couple weeks before they won at the Swamp, you know, the promise game with Tebow. So that was right before the storm. But I remember that game, but yeah, it's not the same Wake Forest team.
Is that was Riley Skinner at quarterback?
That actually, I'm like 98% sure that sounds right. That's when Wake Forest was pretty good. I mean, they weren't amazing, but they were solid. And Ole Miss, I remember, played well that game in a lot of respects, but it was a team that just, I mean, this is cliche, but it was the classic case of pulling defeat from the jaws of victory, you know, not knowing how to win, that sort of thing. They just couldn't, you know, it's like that game in the Swamp when they beat Florida. I still remember being on the sideline and, you know, the clock's ticking down and it was obvious Ole Miss was going to win. But I remember John Jerry turning to somebody on the sideline and just being like, we're going to win. You know, just almost like it was inevitable. It was going to happen.
Yeah.
So that was BW before winning, so it didn't happen.
We'll run through it, though, for science here. Furman, first meeting all time. How about that? Never played the Paladins. 10-3 a year ago. They have made the FCS playoffs each of the last two seasons. 20 wins in the last 2 years for Furman. Number 12 scoring defense in the FCS last season. But look, it's a different animal playing the SEC, playing Lane Kiffin. There's no issues there.
And honestly, the good thing about that will be hopefully that will be a competent football team so that, you know, you don't want too hard of a test in the opener, but you also don't want it to be such a laugher that it's like a scrimmage. You know what I mean? That you're not even getting, because you want each of the games to mean something, to you know, be a test, at least to some degree. And so I like it that they're playing a team that, you know, it's FCS, but it's a solid FCS program.
Yeah, you got to find that happy medium between Mercer and North Dakota State.
Right, exactly. There are some, and it depends on where your program is too. But yeah, the North Dakota State is never a good idea, really, for just about anybody. Only bad things can happen.
Yeah, but you know, I'm sure Dion is going to be ready for them. week two, you've got Middle Tennessee. Will be the debut for Derek Mason. First year head coach Rick Stockstill gone after 18 years.
Boy, he had a run. He was there.
Murfreesboro for 18 years. He is now gone, now on staff at Florida State. But Derek Mason, former Vanderbilt coach. This is the first meeting since 2001. Ole Miss won that one. Eli threw for 257 yards and 3 touchdowns in that game. It was a rout. No issue there. And then Wake Forest, which leads the all-time series 2-0. 7 straight bowl games for the Deacs. Didn't make it last year. And then, you know, had that 11-win campaign in 2021. But, yeah, 113th in scoring offense last year. And that's not going to get it done against Ole Miss, right? I mean, just I expect not have any issue.
Yeah, you shouldn't. I mean, again, you want each game to be a test, and that's a Power 5 team on the road. Now, Wake Forest over the past 20, 25 years has been very up and down. We've talked about, you know, Riley Skinner. We've talked about the 11-win season in 2021. They've also had some valleys, and I think the up and down for the program is kind of entering one of the more, maybe last year it started, but entering kind of a down cycle. So, it's a team you should beat, and it's a team you should probably beat handily if you think you're as good as Ole Miss does.
Yeah. The final non-conference game will be against Georgia Southern, which will technically, David, be the first meeting because the 2016 game was vacated.
Well, so of and course we all know how much everybody pays attention to that, but yeah.
Yeah.
To get off track, the vacating games – always kind of cracks me.
Yeah.
I guess it's for the record, but
right.
Okay.
Showing my age a little bit here, David. I remember back when Georgia Southern was an FCS power. I used to watch those 11 a.m. Raycom games when they were running that wing T, and it was
that's exactly what I was about to say. Every Georgia Southern memory I have is, you know, like triple option wing T, like crazy running numbers and stuff like that. And do they still do that, or who's their coach now? I don't, because it was Willie Fritz was there a long time, wasn't he? Or am I thinking of,
was he? Now the head coach is Clay Helton.
Okay, that's kind of interesting. That's not triple option.
Yeah, Willie Fritz was there for 2 years. So the longtime coach was Paul Johnson, or I guess not long time. He was there from 97 to 2001. But
he kind of put them
went 62-10. That was kind of the era I remember was Paul Johnson running that flex bone. They were
he
so,
went to Georgia Tech, didn't he?
Yeah, they were so much fun. Loved watching that in the mornings. But now, yeah, Clay Helton, the head coach. they've made bowl games in back-to-back seasons. So they've been FBS now for 10 years. Ole Miss won in 2016 by 10. So that was vacated. Yeah, no issue here. Ole Miss should easily dispose of the Eagles. Then we get an SEC play, Kentucky at home. I honestly think that Ole Miss should have zero issue here. First-year quarterback for Kentucky and Brock Vandegrift, who was at Georgia, buried in that depth chart, never got a chance to be the starter in Athens. And I don't know. I kind of feel like Kentucky is going to maybe take a big step back here. Their win total is only 6.5. I kind of think Ole Miss wins this one handedly.
Yeah, I think that feels like a double-digit win. That feels like two touchdowns at least, maybe a little more. And you're right, kind of, you know, Kentucky has kind of been, you know, I give Mark Stoops all the credit in the world for turning that program into a, you know, a consistently solid program, but this doesn't seem like one of his better teams.
The first one here that will give me a little pause, David, at South Carolina, October 5th. Tough place to play, regardless of how good the Gamecocks are. That fan base shows out, regardless. They will be there. It will be loud. It remains to be seen if it's a night game or not. Even though this will be the first true test, in my opinion, no Spencer Rattler anymore to bail you out.
I mean, right,
Spencer
I was about Rattler, to say.
My Lord. I mean, that dude, South Carolina owes him a lot of money.
He was always an X factor because South Carolina was a flawed team, as we talked about. I mean, people who listen to this podcast probably think we're like closet South Carolina fans or something like that. We give a lot of praise to South Carolina, but it is a tough place to play. And I think it's one of the most underrated spots in the league. But no, we are not on their payroll, if you're wondering out there. But you're right. Spencer Rattler could always bail them out. And I just don't think they really have that. That's a game that, again, where it falls in the schedule is a really nice test for Ole Miss. But again, if you're the team you think you are, you should go in there and win, I don't know about handily, but by more than one score. You know, it shouldn't come down to the wire.
Yeah, I think that's the opportunity there for Ole Miss, right? This is a good opportunity on the road, conference opponent, to really announce, hey, we're for real. Like right. this is not a fluke. You know, this is a real legitimate college football playoff contender. You got to go in there and handle business.
For a team ranked like number 20, that's a danger game. For a team that's ranked, you know, maybe number 5, number 4, that really shouldn't be a danger game. So to me, that's kind of the difference between a true upper echelon SEC team and kind of a, you know, an 8-5 team.
Yeah. Next on the schedule, this is a big one. Now, this might factor in. It could be a look-ahead spot when you're in Columbia, South Carolina, but October 12th at LSU. David, I'm also here. I don't get the hype around LSU. I don't understand it. You're losing Malik Nabers, Brian Thomas Jr., Jaden Daniels. I know that it's LSU, and I know it's Death Valley, and it'll probably be a night game and all of that. But this is just a game where you have to be honest and just say, hey, we're Ole Miss, and we're better than LSU. We're better than LSU this year. And you just have to go and win a football game. Now LSU was insane last year with Jaden Daniels. He won the Heisman, close to 46.5 points per game, was best in the FBS. Jaden Daniels threw for 40 touchdowns. He ran for over 1,010 more scores. He's gone. Is this truly a game where everyone's going to sit back and say, you know, yeah, whoever is replacing Jaden Daniels is going to beat Jackson Dart and Ole Miss. I can already see it right now that this is going to be something cute where it's it's LSU plus 3 or something. I just don't buy the hype.
Yeah, I think that LSU gets a lot of credit, and it's kind of deserved at this point with the way they've played over the last 20 years. They get a little bit of that Alabama effect where you think they're just going to kind of plug and play some guys. But I think with this particular version of LSU, you know, they had, like you mentioned and went through the numbers, an otherworldly offense last year. And they still kind of struggled to win elite games because their defense was obviously a problem that they had. So anyway, you're almost certainly, and this is not a disrespect to anybody on that offensive side of the ball, you're probably taking a step back, maybe a couple steps back on offense. And then your defense has to be better too. And I there's nothing that I've seen that makes me think that that's going to be elite next year. So I think as far as it goes at LSU, that this is sort of a down year for them too, or at least a rebuilding year. So, yeah, I mean, I think Ole Miss, with where it's at, it's in its cycle, right at the very top of its game, that's a game you should win.
Yeah, and look, all due respect to, to Garrett Nussmeier, I just don't believe that that's going to be the dude to beat Ole Miss. Not this Ole Miss team.
Right. No, I mean, I feel the same way. It's just not – it's not the Jaden Daniels offense.
Yeah. Okay. After that, Ole Miss will have
off.
Bye week, which is a perfect time. And then you got the home game against Oklahoma. Ole Miss leads the all-time series 1-0, 99, Independence Bowl.
Independence Bowl, yeah. You see that banner in the practice facility all the time.
That's right.
Was that the one that was the last game of the century? Yeah.
You know who the quarterback for Oklahoma was?
Oh, gosh. No, I have no idea, to be quite honest.
That would be Josh Heupel.
Oh, I almost said that, but I thought that was too easy. I thought you were throwing me off.
Yeah, Ole Miss, last-second field goal, Romero Miller, Deuce McAllister, and the like, get it done. Beat Oklahoma, and then I believe that was Bob Stoops' first season, and then the next season they win it all. First year in the SEC. I'm still in wait-and-see mode with Brent Venables. They were pretty good last year with Dylan Gabriel at times. I still struggle to think that they're for real. I know that there's tons of hype about Jackson Arnold. He's a former five-star. He played well in the bowl game. But I feel like that average of 502 yards per game might dip a little. I don't know.
Don't they have to replace all five offensive linemen? I think that's right. Like they've got some holes to fill.
Okay. Yeah, I mean.
I might be wrong on that. I think that's the team I was reading that had to do that.
The two biggest pieces are obviously Jeff Lebby, who was the OC. He's gone. And Dylan Gabriel, who transferred to Oregon. So, yeah, Jackson Arnold, probably going to be really good. But this is his first year as the guy in charge of the offense. Those growing pains can be maximized in the SEC week in, week out. This is intriguing. I think the chess match between Venables as the defensive mind versus Lane Kiffin as the offensive guy. Excited for this one. Should be a huge crowd.
Yeah, that's going to be a great game. That's going to be a – especially if Ole Miss is playing like everybody thinks, that's going to be a huge crowd.
Yeah.
Classic SEC, probably night game.
And I – David, right now, I still have Ole Miss undefeated. I think Ole Miss beats Oklahoma. I think after the bye week especially, and I think it's one of those where you're just better and you just have to go win that game, you know. Like the knock on Kiffin has always been you got to beat those ranked opponents. And he's done it, but you've also had some stinkers against the Alabamas and the Georgias and the LSUs. So you got to go out and just, hey, we're at home. We're better. This is our year type vibe. I still have Ole Miss undefeated here.
No, I think at this point, I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if Ole Miss is favored in every game up until that point, with, you know, maybe the exception of LSU. LSU might be close, depending on how they're playing.
Yeah.
But, yeah, Oklahoma, you were talking about Venables, and that's an interesting one to me. For some reason, he gives off different personalities, but Will Muschamp vibes, in the sense that it always seemed like it should have worked at South Carolina with Will Muschamp, you know, and stuff like that, but it never quite did for some reason. It's not that you doubt their acumen as a coach. It's just for some reason the once they elevate to CEO, it doesn't quite work. And so I want to see. I'm not saying Venables can't do it, but he hasn't necessarily shown me that yet. So anyway, like we talked about, Oklahoma has some holes to fill. You know, offensively, they might be interesting, but you should be better than this team. So, yeah, I mean, I think it's a win, too. I think Ole Miss, if they're playing well and they're healthy, they should be undefeated at this point.
Yeah, I don't see any reason why I don't see an issue with that. I don't think that's crazy to say either. I know this is an Ole Miss podcast, but I mean,
I know. I mean, well, you do every time we talk about this, we start, you know, because I've covered Ole Miss a long time, and you've been around Ole Miss for decades and all that stuff. It's just weird talking in these terms, but I think anybody can logically look at the first 8 games of the schedule and come to the same conclusion as we do.
This one is where I might have a little bit of pause, just maybe some scar tissue, but also just a run of games, even with the bye mixed in there with Oklahoma, LSU, South Carolina on the road, Kentucky. Then you got to go to Arkansas. Ole Miss has played bad there over and over. But man, I don't know how this Arkansas team wins games this year. Their total,
and at that point, you know, you've got Sam Pittman coming back, who, you know, was obviously his job status was in question at the end of the year. It's going to be November 2nd, so everybody's played 8 or 9 games. Who knows what's going on in Arkansas? I mean, Bobby Petrino could be the head coach by then, which, I mean, like, I wouldn't say that's even money, but that's not the smallest odds.
Yeah.
You know, on the books right now. Like, anything could be happening in Arkansas right then. But you are correct. I mean, like, it's always a struggle at Arkansas, even when, you know, they've got the better team. Ole Miss has the better team by far. That's a difficult place to play, you know, kind of like South Carolina in a lot of ways. That's a big-time fan base. And they're going to show out, too, if Ole Miss is good. You know, that's going to be a good crowd up there. So, but again, all these games aren't played in a vacuum, and at 8 or 9 games into the season, who knows where Arkansas is going to be.
Yeah, that's a great point. I mean, what's the job status like for Pittman? How's the offense going for Arkansas at that point? I mean, Petrino is as good as anyone with offense, but what's it going to look like? I mean,
what's the old saying? It's not about the X's and O's. It's the Jimmies and Joes. Do they have enough, you know, actual?
Yeah.
I mean, you could scheme it up to some degree, but at some point you got to have the players. I'm not sure if Arkansas has them quite yet.
Yeah. I just don't think Arkansas is going to be very good. I know I've said it numerous times already, but it's just kind of where you're at right now as a program. If you're Ole Miss, we're just better. Like, we're just going to line up and win a game. Ole Miss did that a lot last year. They did it against Arkansas. They never panicked. They trailed in the fourth quarter, but Ole Miss just kind of leaned on Arkansas and just leaned and leaned, got some turnovers, made some plays late, got a drive, scored, won the football game. I think that's kind of what
Right, and there's a game or two like that every year for every good team.
Always.
Where you kind of fart around and, you know, play, as they say, play with your food for a little bit. But then, you know, you step on the gas and make the winning plays when you have to.
Yeah.
Whether that's Arkansas or South Carolina or even Wake Forest or something like that, that's going to happen at some point. Yeah. And the good teams find a way to win those games.
Yeah. At this point, I've got Ole Miss still unscathed, still undefeated. And then you got the big one, November 9th. Georgia, Oxford, Mississippi, in this era, in this universe here that we're talking about, David, we've got an undefeated Ole Miss, probably an undefeated Georgia. You'd have to think that the center of the college football universe will be in Oxford at that point. I would imagine College Game Day. Have to be primetime, night game, Chris Fowler, Kirk Herbstreit, all of that, you know, all the trimmings. This one to me feels like that late season loss where it's close, don't get it done, but it's one that you learn some things from. And then with the playoff being extended.
Right. Yes. I was saying the same thing.
You learn from it and you grow from it. And then Ole Miss just all gas, no brakes into the rest of the season and into the playoff. I think that right now, without seeing any football, I would say Georgia wins this game. I think it's a one possession game late at some point. Maybe it's a Georgia, 10 point win, something like that, maybe closer. But I'd still, like I said earlier, David, I don't think it's insane to say that Ole Miss has as good a shot as any to beat Georgia this year.
Yeah, I'm sure Georgia's looking at their schedule being like, ooh, Oxford, November 9th. That's going to be a tough one. Like,
yeah.
Not say, Georgia at this point has earned the right to be competent no matter where they go. And you're right. I think at least on paper right now as we sit here on May 14th, I think Georgia has earned the benefit of the doubt and they have the roster that they're better. Like I said, at least on paper. But games aren't played in a vacuum. We'll see where each team is. But, boy, you were going through the Chris Fowler, Kirk Curb Street, Saturday night. Like, you could see it in your head. It would be really cool. And I think it has a good chance of happening. A lot has to go, both teams' way. Who knows what's going to happen. But, yeah, I mean, it's the only game on the schedule to me that is a loss. I mean, like, 11-1, I can see them tripping up at some other point to finish 10-2. But, yeah, that's the one game where you're like, the other team's probably better. But it's the only one.
Yeah, and even then, David, 10-2, I think you're still in the playoffs.
I think so, too. It probably depends on when the loss comes, who's a two, that sort of stuff. But, yeah, I mean, a 10-2 team that sticks in two in the SEC, you think about how many teams in the play, how many SEC teams total are going to get in.
Yeah.
So is it, will they get three? Will they get four? Will they just get two?
Yeah.
That seems hard to believe. But, yeah, I mean, I think Ole Miss should be the third best team, at least, in the SEC. You know what I mean? Like, they should be right in that mix. But, yeah, it's going to be fascinating. This is just kind of new territory to see how this plays out and, which 10-2 teams get in and which don't. And it's going to be fun.
Yeah. Ole Miss gets another bye week and then travels to Gainesville November 23rd. Pretty crazy here, David. This series is tied 12-12 and 1. Got a tie in there. Last time Ole Miss played Florida was 2020, the COVID year when Ole Miss made it exciting. And, Elijah Moore had 227 yards receiving.
I remember that game.
That was kind of when the world was introduced to Kyle Pitts, who had 170 yards and four touchdowns. But no Kyle Trask, no Kyle Pitts this go-round. Graham Mertz, as much flack as he got last year, I thought he was better.
Okay. Yeah, I'm interested to see what he's like this year because he showed me enough last year. He was a good SEC quarterback, especially down the stretch. So I think Florida, they've got a long way to go, and Billy Napier hasn't shown me a lot yet. But with Graham Mertz, I'm listening. I'm subscribing to the newsletter at least this year. I want to see what they do.
Yeah, it doesn't get talked about enough. He had almost 3,000 yards passing, 20 touchdowns, and just three picks. Florida just couldn't get wins. They lost their last five games of the season. The four were against ranked opponents. Florida last year missed a bowl game for just the fourth time since 1989, which is pretty remarkable.
Wow.
I think this might be it for Napier. The total's at 5.5.
Well, if that happens, yes, they're looking for a new coach. I can see a scenario where Florida's an 8-win team and Napier gets to stick around. That's probably their ceiling, but I don't think Florida is like completely out of hope right now.
That close to the schedule is just brutal.
I haven't seen their schedule.
Let's take a look. I don't remember off the top of my head, but it is terrible. Because this is a team that could potentially win. It could be a – okay, let's say Florida beats Miami, beats Samford, somehow beats A&M in Gainesville. First-year head coach, Mike Elko, that's possible. And then you beat Mississippi State, you beat UCF. So let's say 5-0 to start. And after that, lose to Tennessee – whatever with Kentucky, lose to Georgia, lose to Texas, lose to LSU, lose to Ole Miss, ooh, lose to Florida State. I mean, that right there from the November run.
Yeah, I was about to say that Georgia, Texas,
I mean, that's probably a number one Georgia, a top five Texas, potentially a top 25 LSU, a top five Ole Miss, and probably a top 10, 15 Florida State.
Yeah, that is even for the SEC, that's a crazy run.
I mean, who scheduled that? I mean, that is awful. I'm not buying into Napier. I don't think it's going to happen. And Ole Miss grabbed his best defensive player in Prince Umami Ellen, who will now be at Ole Miss. So, which is another storyline. A lot of these portal guys, you've got Umami Ellen, Ole Miss will go to Florida. You've got Juice Wells, Ole Miss will go to South Carolina. Pooh Paul, the linebacker, Arkansas's leading tackler, you go to Arkansas. So a lot of these road games where, you know, LSU, Ole Miss got Logan Diggs. You're going to, like, all these former players that are going to be on the Ole Miss team to kind of, you know, help you navigate those tough road games. I think Ole Miss wins in the Swamp. I don't think, you know, maybe it's kind of, you know, close early, but I think that's just a game where Ole Miss is just better. So you got them at 10-1 at this point.
Yeah, and I think it helps too in that game that there's another week off, so you can decompress from whatever happens against Georgia. If you beat them,
right?
You know, if you somehow beat them, then you get a week to come down from the euphoria. If you lose, you've got a week to get over the disappointment, and then you refocus for down the stretch and get, you know, try to make that playoff run that they should be in position for.
The College Corner is headed to Oxford. Stop by their new location in the Oxford Commons off Sisk Avenue. They'll have 4,000 square feet of Rebel gear ready for your trip to the Grove. On your next trip to Oxford, stop by the College Corner or our other great locations in Ridgeland and Flowood. Hats, shirts, polos, pullovers, sweats, t-shirts. College Corner has it all. And as always, you can visit us online at collegecornerstore.com. That's collegecornerstore.com. The College Corner, where your game day apparel meets.
Hi, this is Kevin Kessinger, former Ole Miss baseball player, son of Ole Miss Hall of Famer Don Kessinger, and dad to Ole Miss All-American shortstop Gray Kessinger, and your local community banker with BNA Bank. BNA Bank has invested 125 years in our communities, and we know the needs of North Mississippi businesses better than anyone. As a commercial lender with BNA Bank, my priority is Oxford, and I'd love to help you and your business with any lending needs.
Visit www.bnabank.com to learn more. BNA Bank, local, invested, modern banking. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Call Drew Moak of USA Benefits Group. He can help you with any of your health insurance needs. Drew is an Ole Miss grad located in Mississippi and licensed in 7 states. He works with the nation's second largest health insurance brokerage with access to 35 different carriers, regular health plans, to life insurance, to dental and vision, and even Medicare. He has it all covered. Now more than ever, it is critical to have a health insurance agent who is local and accessible. So call Drew Moak at 601-953-8449, 601-953-8449, and get your free quote today.
This is Cali. With C Spire's blazing fast nationwide 5G network, she's got her fans in the palm of her hands. Live streaming her Mississippi Blues from her phone wherever she is. Out there, wherever they are. Right now, get the latest 5G phone on us. Only at C Spire, customer inspired.
The car buying process can be a lot. I know, I've been there. You just want to get in and out with a new car and the best deal. Simple. Alan Samuels Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram of Oxford keeps it simple. They're going to take care of you, get you in and out with your new vehicle with a great deal. Their inventory right now is priced to sell, and what separates Alan Samuels Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram of Oxford from any and all competitors is they aim to address each of your needs with the utmost respect, care, and attention to detail. Contact them today at 662-234-8000. That's 662-234-8000. Stop by and see them in person at 2201 East University Avenue in Oxford. That's Alan Samuels Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram of Oxford to find your next perfect car, truck, or Jeep. Alan Samuels, let's be friends.
You know when you discover a new binge-worthy show or that song you can't help but leave on repeat? You just have to share it with your friends, right? because who doesn't want to spread awesomeness? Now you know how I feel telling you now about Mint Mobile. Mint Mobile offers premium wireless for $15 a month when you purchase a three-month plan today. It's such a good deal, I couldn't keep it to myself. My past plans have gone as high as $100. Friends don't let friends overpay for wireless. Time to say so long to those overpriced wireless plans and switch to Mint Mobile. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. And don't worry, Mint Mobile will get all your old stuff off your old phone, including those existing contacts. So don't wait another second. Get your new three-month premium wireless plan for just $15 a month at mintmobile.com/TOC. That's mintmobile.com/TOC. $45 upfront payment required. New customers on first three-month plan only. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
Ole Miss fans, your only choice for daily fantasy sports is Prize Picks. America's number one daily fantasy sports app, Prize Picks has over 5 million active members. And it's fun and it's simple. Pick two or more players from any sport, whether they'll go for more or less of their projected stats, choose flex or power play, and watch the winnings roll in. Flex means you still win even if one of your picks misses. Power plays are higher payouts, but you got to get all of your picks right. Bottom line, you have options that fit your daily fantasy playing style, but only with our friends at Prize Picks. And they've already made me a winner. CeeDee Lamb, an easy pick for more than 96 receiving yards. The only weapon for Dak Prescott in his more or less of 263 passing yards. Even better, you can now get up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. And winning withdrawals with Prize Picks are fast, safe, and secure. When those picks hit, you can get your money in as quick as 15 minutes. So download the Prize Picks app today and use code TALKOFCHAMPIONS. That's code TALKOFCHAMPIONS to get $50 instantly when you play $5. Code TALKOFCHAMPIONS on Prize Picks to get $50 instantly when you play $5. You don't even need to win to receive this $50 bonus. It's guaranteed with Prize Picks. Run your game.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Finally, regular season finale, November 30th, Mississippi State at home. Mississippi State 5-7 last year. You've got Jeff Lebby in his first year. Zach Arnett is now on staff at Ole Miss, so you know he's going to know some things. And again, I just, you know, who's playing quarterback for Mississippi State? That's my biggest question.
Yeah.
Will Rogers is gone. I don't really need to give too much analysis here, right? I just think this is a
– Right. I mean, with all due respect to the Egg Bowl rivalry and that weird things happen in rivalry games and all that stuff, this is – could be as lopsided as it's been in a while. But, you know, weird things happen in rivalry games. I'll always say that. But this looks like a – this kind of reminds me of the not exactly, but the when Ole Miss beat – State like 45-0 the Wesley Carroll game, like,
oh yeah, 2008.
Yeah.
Jarrell Poe got him an interception in that one.
Yeah, there was a lot of players on Ole Miss had career highlights on that one.
Yeah,
it may not be. That's probably a little bit of an exaggeration because I do think with Lebby they'll be on the way up. You know, with because that was a situation where Krug was, you know, on his way out, and it was kind of a mess over there. I think it'll be a little different because I do think that Jeff Lebby and State, regardless of what their record is going to want to make a statement in that game to, you know, even if they want to play it close, like, I think they'll be motivated.
Yeah, we're not there yet, David, but depending on what the Lebby experience is like, I mean, could this rivalry potentially – head towards the direction of Georgia Tech?
I mean, I, you know, so many times over the years, it has looked like one of the schools was going to pull away, you know, like, you know, Dan Mullen had a few years where it looked like really State was really in control of the rivalry. And so right now, I mean, I think any unbiased observer would say that Ole Miss is at a peak and Mississippi State is not. And so is there the potential for that the next decade could be dominated by Ole Miss? Sure. I mean, like it's, and I'm sure, you know, if State fans are being honest, they might be a little worried about that, even if they do like Jeff Lebby. But, you know, this rivalry ebbs and flows so much that I doubt it. But right now, Ole Miss definitely has all the momentum in the series.
Yeah. Yeah. Nobody's ever been able to truly pull away. Not in recent years. But you have to think the trajectory of each program is very, very different right now. And especially
there's no question about that.
If the Jeff Lebby experience doesn't work, and because I thought it was risky. I understand you're shooting your shot. You're trying to get your guy, give him his opportunity to establish himself. But, man, it's risky when your in-state rival is doing what Ole Miss is doing.
Yeah. No, I agree with that, that this is the most, under Kiffin, this feels like the most sustainable run of success that Ole Miss has had since the 50s or 60s, you know, I mean, like, so, you know, things happen, coaches leave sometimes and everything, but as long as Lane Kiffin's at Ole Miss, it really feels like they're going to be good, at least respectable. And, you know, like you said, if Mississippi State, if this Jeff Lebby experiment doesn't work out, then you're starting with another new coach. And then, you know, by then you're – and you give Lane Kiffin more and more time to build what he's building. And then it can start snowballing into a, more of a Georgia Tech type thing. I'm not there yet with this. But, yeah, State's one or two bad coaching hires away from – and I'm not saying, Jeff, I don't – you know, the book is out on Jeff Lebby. We'll see. But, yeah, it's kind of in the danger zone right now, I would say.
Yeah. All right, before we get into the rest of the SEC and kind of a little bit of a lightning round to run through the win totals and give our thoughts on that, I do want to remind you, show is also brought to you by USA Benefits Group and Drew Moak. If you're looking to cut those premiums by as much as 20 to 30%, you need anything from a regular health plan to life insurance to dental, vision, all of that. Drew Moak has you covered. Give him a call, 601-953-8449. He's an Ole Miss grad. He's located in Mississippi. He's licensed in 7 states. And he works at the nation's second largest health insurance brokerage with access to 35 different carriers. So he can help you with all of your health insurance needs. You can give him a call, like I said, 601-953-8449, or visit usabg.com/DMOAK. And get your free quote today. All right. So let's jump into some win totals for the rest of the SEC. Man, if some people need some health insurance options, we can go ahead and get Vanderbilt out of the way here. It's at 2.5. I feel like Vandy's going to get 3 wins, right?
I mean, it. Like, gosh, I hope so.
I mean, looking at the schedule, I will give them wins against Alcorn State, Georgia State, Ball State. That's 3 right there.
Right.
You kick off the year with Virginia Tech, so maybe.
Yeah, I mean, their schedule, like, you know, what are their home games? Gosh, they've got Alabama, Texas, South Carolina, and Tennessee at home. The only one that even feels possibly attainable is South Carolina.
Yeah.
Virginia Tech does feel like 2.5 just generally. Vanderbilt fascinates me, and I know you're in Nashville. Like, I don't understand. And they did have a couple years with James Franklin where they were kind of – but I don't understand why they can't be more like a Northwestern or a Stanford – you know, I know it's hard, or even a Duke. I know it's hard at those places to win consistently year after year and be 11-1. None of those teams really does that. But all of those, like, jumps up and has 8-9 wins occasionally and then falls back. But, you know, they always seem to Vanderbilt just – I don't know if it's the strength of the SEC. I don't know if it's Vanderbilt. But, man, like, especially all those years when the East was just kind of, you know. But anyway.
Yeah. I'll give them 3, so I'm going over.
I feel like over. Sorry for my Vanderbilt rant, but that somebody should be able to win 6 to 7 games there most years.
Yeah. Look, going back to the Paul Johnson discussion with Georgia Southern earlier, I've said for years that Vandy just needs to get someone that runs the option to just make life hell for people 1 week out of the year.
I mean, I do, or just do something different. Because if you're trying to line up and beat, you know, Alabama or Tennessee, you're just not going to have the players.
No.
I don't know if that means triple option or, you know, kind of a Mike Leach style guy or something like that. But yeah, I just lining up and playing conventional football has not really worked for Vanderbilt for a very long time.
All right. We'll go least to most on the win total here. So we'll jump from the 2.5 at Vandy up to the 5.5, or no, we'll get to 4.5. Mississippi State at 4.5. If we look at the Mississippi State schedule, 4.5 does seem low, but looking at who Mississippi State has on the schedule, I do see some easy wins. You got Eastern Kentucky to open the year, Toledo.
I think it hinges on Arizona State, because Arizona State was not very good last year. And that's a game that I think Mississippi State could potentially steal if they played well, but they're going to be so early into their development too. Who knows what happens? But I feel like, I just feel like that 4.5 hinges on Arizona State.
Yeah, because I'm giving them EKU, I'm giving them Toledo, I'm giving them UMass.
Yeah.
After that, I mean, it's a bunch of toss-ups.
Right. I think if they beat Arizona State, that's 4, and then you steal one somewhere. Maybe Arkansas, maybe Texas A&M at home. Like, that's a big stretch. They get 3 home games right there, Texas A&M, Arkansas, UMass. I can see them picking off one of those SEC games, or even Florida at home on September 21st, which might be the end of Billy Napier if that happens.
Yeah. Talk about a good road schedule, though, for Mississippi State fans. If you're looking to take road trips, you've got at Texas, at Georgia, at Tennessee, and at Ole Miss, and at Arizona State if you want to go out to the desert. So,
For their team, because you're not going to win those games probably anyway, those road games. So you might as well play them on the road, and then you actually have some chances in your home games.
Yeah, sure.
You know, because really, Florida, Texas A&M, and Arkansas are all, you know, not impossible. I'm not saying though, but I can certainly see State winning one out of those 3 games. And then Missouri is probably tough, but even that one's not necessarily impossible. It depends on how Missouri's playing down the stretch. But
yeah, and I think Missouri's going to be good. And I think that's big there, where that Missouri game is sandwiched in between at Tennessee and at Ole Miss. Now, I know that they get a bye after Tennessee, but still, like, that's
not going to help that much. Yeah.
I lean over just because I think State could get one, whether it's Arkansas or A&M or maybe Florida early in the year. But, man, that's tough. That's a tough one.
Yeah, 4.5 is good for them because it makes you think. I kind of lean towards the over, too. I just think they'll figure out a way to win 5 somewhere.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at. All right, so now we get into the 5.5. Arkansas, man,
it that feels like an under to me. It feels like they made a mistake keeping Sam Pittman with all the – and everyone likes Sam Pittman. We'll get that out of the way. We all like Sam Pittman. He's great for the conference. I don't think it's going to work.
Right now I'm seeing 3.
Yeah, Arkansas, Pine Bluff.
Maybe UAB. That's not a gimme.
UAB, yeah, that's not a gimme either. And is Louisiana Tech any good anymore?
I don't.
They had some years with Sonny Dykes.
Sonny Cumbie's there, right?
Sonny worked for you once. Try it again.
I'm going under. I don't know how Arkansas is at 5.5 and Mississippi State's at 4.5.
Yeah, I am more bullish on Mississippi State just because of where they are, you know, trying to prove themselves. I feel like that's a team that, you know, is at least going to be scrappy and care. And Arkansas, I think, is one of those teams that if it goes south early, it's going to be hard to get those guys to care.
Yeah, exactly. And year one, a lot of growing pains. Yeah. Not year one. I'm thinking of Mississippi State, but could be year one for Bobby Petrino if he gets promoted.
That seems like a program that's kind of in transition / disarray. Yeah. I say under.
Florida, I mean, we just talked about them. I think at 5.5, I'm going to go under.
Let me look at the schedule. I mean, I know we looked at that murderous.
I mean, the opener is not a gimme against Miami.
Well, that's another team that if it goes south really quick, like if you lose to Miami and then, that could snowball in a hurry.
I mean, I'll give you Stanford. I'll give you – David, I'm not seeing a lot of gimmies here. I mean, UCF not a gimme.
Samford, right. I was just about to say Samford's the only game that's like, yes, they will win that game. They do get Miami at home. Is that game at home or is that a neutral site?
It's per Wikipedia.
Okay. So Miami at home, UCF at home, Kentucky at home, LSU at home, Mississippi State on the road. All of those are like – possible,
yeah,
but
it's just many games,
right? If you go 1-2 in your first 3 weeks, you know, if you lose to Miami and Texas A&M, I mean, is Billy Napier even the coach anymore? Like, I think there's a lot of pressure at that point,
yeah.
And then you go to Mississippi State, which they're going to be licking their chops for that game. They'll have a good crowd there at State. That's not an easy road game. And then, like you said, UCF's been a very good football program for a lot of years. So,
yeah.
And then you get into the meat of that ridiculous November run.
Ugh. All right. South Carolina, 5.5. Just a quick glance. I've got wins over Old Dominion, Akron, Vandy, and Wofford. And then you got to find two.
Old Dominion, Akron. I'm looking at Vanderbilt, Wofford. Yeah. And then, right. You go at Oklahoma, like, that's not impossible. At Kentucky
early is not impossible.
Home against LSU is not even impossible. I mean, they don't have a lot of games that are just, I mean, you know, at Alabama, that's, you know, tough. At Clemson is going to be pretty tough. Home against Missouri. What is it, 5.5? I'm going to say over. I think they can get to 6-6.
Oh, okay. All right.
I think they beat Old Dominion, Kentucky, Akron, Vanderbilt, Wofford, and Texas A&M.
Okay. I'm going to go under.
And even if they don't beat Texas A&M, they could potentially beat LSU or Missouri. Sure. Like, I think there's avenues for them to get there.
Yeah. All right. Bumping up to 6.5. Let's go to Kentucky. Southern Miss. Ohio, Vandy, Murray State, Louisville. That's 5 right there. Can you go steal 2 more?
Kentucky,
South Carolina gets them 6.
I just don't have a great feel for
brand new
Kentucky
quarterback
this year. I give Mark Stoops a little bit of the benefit of the doubt for just consistently being able. You said it's what, 6.5?
Yeah.
So 1-2. Could they beat Auburn at home?
Sure.
I mean, yeah, right. I mean, that's one of those things. Well, they could.
Yeah. I mean, like, we'll get to Auburn in a minute.
I don't know. I feel like they're 6-6, so I'm going to say under. But yeah. They could get to 7, 6 or 7. 6.5 is a good line for them because I think that's right where they're kind of vacillating between 6 and 7.
Yeah, I got them at probably 6-6. All right, working our way up. You just mentioned them. Let's go to Auburn. Auburn at 7.5. Derek Nix is the offensive coordinator. DJ Durkin's the defensive coordinator. Both first year guys. Lane Kiffin or Lane Kiffin. Jeez. Hugh Freeze didn't get a quarterback. So he's riding with his guys that he already has. There was a quote where he basically was saying he's not going to go spend $1 million. He's going to develop what he already has. That sounds like an excuse. Alabama A&M, Cal,
New Mexico, Arkansas.
That's
you've got a chance at even Oklahoma at your fifth game. That's a big game. Because, I mean, if you have five home games in a row and you go 5-0, I mean, you're going to lose at Georgia, but that gives you a lot of confidence.
Yeah. I think they lose Georgia, Missouri.
They've got a good schedule.
They do.
That's the only reason I see they could go 8-4, but just because they have a very nice schedule.
And, hey, Cal wasn't a cakewalk for them.
There's so many new – gosh. I feel like you. I'm just – it makes me – it's contortioning. I'm like, ugh.
I watched that Cal game last year. Auburn was lucky to get out of there with that.
Oh, absolutely.
And it was 14-10. It wasn't – I just
I do think Auburn's going to take a step forward this year under Freeze. I know we make a lot of jokes at his expense, but I think he's a decent football coach. I think
they should
at home against Cal. Yeah. But the only reason I'm thinking they take a step forward is they have got, so far of all the schedules I looked at, easily the best one.
And it's wild because as good of a home field as Jordan Hare is, Auburn lost to New Mexico State last year. So and didn't just lose, Dave. It got whipped.
Oh, I remember that because we were just – that was one of the few scores last year that it was just like, what? What just happened? Because hadn't Auburn just come off a pretty good win or something like that? Like, I can't – let me – because that one just jumped out of nowhere.
It was after
three in a row. They had won three in a row. It looked pretty – you know, it was Mississippi State, Vanderbilt, Arkansas, but it really looked like they were building some momentum. And then they just got trucked by New Mexico State 31-10. Yeah, I mean, you know, this isn't –
first look here, I'm giving them 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I'm giving them 6 just first glance, and then they're swing games. So can Auburn win 2 more?
I think they
lose to Bama.
The season hinges on Oklahoma, Texas A&M, and Kentucky.
Yeah.
I mean, those are the 3 toss-up games that I think you're referring to that I see as well. Because you're losing to Alabama, you're losing to Georgia, you're losing to Missouri.
All right. A&M, 8.5. You've got Mike Elko in year one, Colin Klein in year one as the OC. You've got Holman Wiggins and Jay Bateman as co-DCs, both in their first year with the Aggies. I think you're losing to Notre Dame.
Yeah. After that, the schedule's not too bad, though. That's a brutal opening game. But
I think you beat McNeese. I think eke out a win at Florida, Bowling Green, Arkansas, Mississippi State, New Mexico State. That's 6 right there, and then you've got the tough ones. Texas at home, at Auburn. I think they beat South Carolina, so that would be 7.
Could they somehow beat Missouri? I'm like you. I think Missouri's going to be pretty good.
Just a lot of question marks there.
Eight and a half is just a lot. Yeah, I am too, because that's just a lot. Like, I like Mike Elko, but
because you could go 8-4 and you still go under.
I know. I keep – right, exactly. That's 8.5 is quite a bit, especially for what Texas A&M has shown us over the years. I keep wanting to say Tim Elko too. But
yeah. Tim Elko.
Are they related in any way? How many Elkos are out there in the world?
I don't think so. I think we would have heard about it by now.
I think, yeah, that seems too easy if that had actually been the case. But I just haven't met many Elkos out there. Maybe there's a lot.
That's right. All right. Let's go to Knoxville, Tennessee at 9.5. Looking at the schedule here, I've got wins over Chattanooga, NC State, Kent State.
UT Arkansas. Chattanooga. I still remember that was one of my favorite Dan Mullen quotes. Sorry. he was being asked if anyone else had recruited Nick Fitzgerald, who he fought to get Nick Fitzgerald from. But he had a cigar in his mouth. He goes, UT Chattanooga. Sorry.
There's literally a Houston Nutt joke for everything.
Well, that was a Dan Mullen joke.
Or Dan Mullen.
Did I say Houston? Yeah.
So, okay. Chattanooga, NC State, Kent State.
Kent State.
Which NC State's not a gimme.
No, I mean, that'll be a good test for them. But they should, again, if Tennessee thinks Dave they're going to be good, they should.
Dave Doran's done a good job.
He has. Remember when he was a candidate for the Ole Miss job years ago?
Yeah. Could have. I mean,
a lot of people thought he was going to get the job.
I think he was going to get it. And then we all know what happened after that. But let's go Chattanooga, NC State, Kent State, Arkansas, Florida,
Kentucky at home,
Kentucky, Mississippi State, UTEP, Vandy. That's Vanderbilt. Nine.
That's nine. Yeah, I mean, and then what are the other ones? Georgia, Oklahoma.
Oklahoma on the road.
And Alabama.
Alabama at home.
I think they can win one of those games. I think they can beat Oklahoma or something. I'll go over.
Here's my thing with Tennessee, and I'm going to stick with the script here because I said the same for Oklahoma. I'm going to go under because it's a first-year quarterback.
Right.
I think there's going to be
a talented quarterback like in Oklahoma's case, but it's got a little bit of a boom or bust. I mean, there's always a team that there's a precocious young quarterback that immediately grasps the offense and leads a team. Could be Oklahoma, could be Tennessee, but I understand your point that with you know, it's hard with a young quarterback to have many gimmies. But that's not a bad schedule. I think the Vols are going to be good.
I do too, but I just think there are going to be some highs, but there are going to be some lows with that first-year quarterback that's talented. And
there's going to be one or two games where you're like, just like, what happened?
Yeah, I mean,
in both directions.
Right. All right. We'll stay on task here. As Man City scores to go up 1-0 on Tottenham.
Multitasking.
Yeah, I'm going under Tennessee. I think that a really good 9-3 year. Nothing to sneeze at. I think Nico is going to be really good, but I think there's just going to be some games where maybe the arm wins you some games, and then maybe the arm loses you some games.
Right.
Let's go to LSU. We already kind of talked about it.
What are they at?
They're at 9.5. So let's pull up the schedule here. You open in Vegas against Southern Cal. With Miller Moss at quarterback now, who played really well in the bowl game.
Yeah.
Let's go wins over Nichols, South Carolina, UCLA, South Alabama, Arkansas, Vandy, Florida. I'm giving them A&M, so that's 8 right off the bat. Let's say you beat Southern Cal in the opener, that's 9.
I'm then going under. I just think they're 9-3 or 8-4.
I'm going under too because Brian Kelly does these. He's got that weird like itch to just do dumb shit. Like it's. He has like moments where he looks like a top 3 coach in the country, and then he just has some head scratchers. And I think that coupled with your two best receivers are gone, you lose a running back to Ole Miss, you lose your Heisman Trophy winning quarterback. they didn't do anything really in the portal to fix the defense.
Right.
We haven't even mentioned that. What's the defense?
Right. That's the big thing for me. You had an otherworldly offense and still struggled to win games at times. This feels like not a bad LSU team, kind of a dangerous one maybe in some ways, but yeah. Not one of their top tier teams.
Yeah. Let's go to Tuscaloosa, Alabama at 9.5. Let's go wins over Western Kentucky, South Florida, Wisconsin on the road at Camp Randall. That'll be fun.
It's a good game.
Vandy, South Carolina, Mercer, Auburn. 7 right off the bat that I think are surefire wins. Then you've got
– it's so weird not seeing Ole Miss on their schedule.
I know. Probably beat Tennessee, but it's at Tennessee. Kalen DeBoer, year one. I give them the benefit of the doubt there with a returning quarterback in Jalen Milroe, who I think works for what DeBoer does, and I think they're going to figure some things out for him.
That's not the easiest schedule in the world now that I'm looking. You got a lot of tricky road games down the stretch.
At Oklahoma.
LSU and at Oklahoma.
So,
9.5. Can you get like, okay, so to be it over, you can only lose 2 games. You're probably losing to Georgia. So you have to beat Missouri. Well, you don't have to beat Missouri. I think they go 10-2.
Yeah, losses.
At Tennessee.
Losses to Georgia and Tennessee.
Either Tennessee or Missouri.
So, yeah, let's go. Western Kentucky, South Florida, Wisconsin, Vandy, South Carolina, Missouri, Mercer, Auburn.
I mean, you got a lot of tricky games. There's a lot of, like, you know, especially with a first-year coach. Like, we've sang the praises of Kalen DeBoer many times. But it's just weird going into the post-Nick Saban. Like, I've been so, you know, Alabama seems like they've been just sort of a shoe-in for the last 20 years to be 10-2 at least. And I still think they're talented. I think they've got a good coach. You never know how that transition is going to go. You know, Nick Saban had a tough transition. Of course, he had a lot. You know, the program was not nearly what it was at that point than it is now.
Right.
But I can see them taking a step back and going 9-3. That's not impossible. What do you think?
I know
how you feel about respecting the Tide, but or disrespecting the Tide as it goes. But
I'm going to go under. I'm thinking 9-3 because the hook is just tricky. And I just
it's another good over under.
Yeah, I'm going to go under. Maybe I'm just doing it for podcast fodder, whatever. 10-2 wouldn't shock me because DeBoer wins everywhere he goes.
Right.
And it's not exactly, you know, it's not like it's the cupboard's bare at Alabama. They've got a ton of talent. All right, closing things out here. I think we've got everybody covered. Okay, Missouri, 9.5. Let's go look at Missouri, and then we'll do Georgia and Texas.
Missouri was the most interesting one to me just because, you know, I like Eli Drinkwitz. They obviously proved some things last year. But, you know, you lose Darius Robinson, who came out here to the desert. Playing for the Cardinals now. You've got some – I'm just not sure Missouri is in the situation where they can plug and play like some of these other schools. Maybe I'm – but I think this is kind of his prove-it year that Missouri – kind of like what Ole Miss has done the last 2 or 3 years. It's like, you know, we're now a perennial 8-10, maybe 11-win team. So,
yeah.
Looking at their schedule, Murray State, Buffalo, Boston College, Vanderbilt, Texas A&M, UMass, Auburn. At Alabama.
I mean, that's 7 right there.
Whoa, that's a – gosh, now that I actually go through their schedule,
I'll give them eight. Like South Carolina. Wait, hold on. Murray State, Buffalo, Boston College, Vandy, A&M, UMass, Auburn, South Carolina, Mississippi State. Man, the Arkansas. Number in Arkansas. Yeah, I'll go over.
Yeah, I mean, there's a real easy – not an easy path. There's never an easy path. But there is a legitimate path to 10 wins. And even their games that we're not giving them aren't – you know, could they beat Alabama at Alabama? I think that's possible.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, they don't have – I mean, that Alabama game's really tough, but they don't have Georgia on their schedule. They don't have Ole Miss on their schedule. They
Yeah. All right.
When I first saw that 9.5 number, I was a little skeptical. But now that I look at their schedule, I get it.
All right. Let's go to Texas. The number is what, 10.5?
I think that's right.
Yeah, 10.5 for Texas. You go to Michigan in week two. So that'll be tough.
And you've got Oklahoma in a rivalry game, and you've got Georgia at home. That's 10.5. I mean, just Michigan and Georgia is.
I think Texas could beat Michigan on the road. So
let's go. I think that's possible. Yeah.
Colorado State, Michigan, UTSA, Louisiana Monroe, Mississippi State, Oklahoma, Vandy, Florida.
Here's another thing.
Kentucky. Yeah.
Sorry, are these regular season win totals, or do these count the bowl games too?
Pretty sure they're just regular season.
Okay, because otherwise that would change the calculus quite a bit. Should have asked that question about 30 minutes ago.
I'm going over. I think Georgia is the only team that beats them.
Yeah, I mean, I think just at first glance, especially with Michigan now having a coaching change, yeah, I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I'm going 11-1. Yeah, I feel good about that.
Yeah. And then Georgia.
All right. Georgia, I'm going over.
What is their win? Are they 10.5 too?
Yes.
Or 11?
I believe so, yeah. 10.5.
Yeah, I mean, they've got a difficult road schedule with Alabama, Texas, and Ole Miss on the road.
Yeah, but, they're the
better team. I mean, they should win those games. I'm just saying that's three difficult road games.
I mean,
and then like after they play, you know, like we talked about, if that game against Georgia is as big as we think for Ole Miss, the very next week they turn around against Tennessee.
Yeah. I mean, the only one on the schedule here that gives me remotely any pause is Ole Miss.
But I
think Georgia's better.
I think if it's 10.5, I think Georgia goes 11-1. I'd say over. I think somewhere someone will beat them just because they've got a tough schedule. But
yeah, I was gonna say 11-1. At the very least, it's 11-1, maybe 12-0.
Right. I think in just looking at it, boy, that Texas game could be fun. I was like, will they be favored in every game?
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah, I'm
maybe that Texas game. Yeah. Yeah, I think 11-1 is a safe bet for them with a chance they could go 12-0.
Yeah. All right. We did it all.
We told you what's gonna happen to the SEC this year. You're welcome.
I'm very now after looking at all of this, I'm very intrigued by a lot of teams now.
Right. Well, and you just see in football, especially more than any other sport, the schedule matters so much. You know, it can turn, you know, Missouri from a 8-win team to an 11-win team really quick. You know, I mean, there's yeah. big swings that could happen, you know, whether stuff's who you got on your schedule, home and road, that just don't exist as much in basketball and baseball, because sure, there's tougher schedules, but they're just bigger schedules, so you get more of a sample yeah, size.
Absolutely. All right, that will do it for this extended edition of the flagship.
We talked for a while, didn't we? Sorry.
Yeah, we gave you a little more than you normally get because we made you wait into the afternoon. So appreciate David, as always, hopping on. Appreciate you, the listeners in College Corner, and Drew Moak and USA Benefits Group. We will have more podcasts this week as we march towards the weekend. We'll have baseball coverage on the site. We'll have softball coming up, the regional this weekend. We'll have portal stuff and everything going on at ohmspirit.com. If you're not a member already, it's only $1. Join us. We have a lot of fun. So for David, I'm Zach. This has been the flagship presented by College Corner. Until next time, we out of here.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
This October, Tanger invites you to shop pink and save lives. Your donation of $10 or more to the Breast Cancer Research Foundation helps fuel innovative research that brings us closer to a cure. It also unlocks exclusive savings from brands like Coach, Crocs, Columbia Factory Store, and more to shop all month long. Join us as we mark 30 years of advancing research and empowering hope. Donate and access your exclusive savings today at Tanger.com.